The cool cat knows when it's time to relax and get some rest. And that cool cat likes to unwind in his room, 'cause it's the best. And the bestest boys and groovy girls are sure of one thing they have found, that the cool cat knows how to settle down. Whoa, the cool cat likes to run fast and play hard with all his friends. And that cool cat combs every inch of his yard till it's time to go in and take a bath, put his jammies on, and brush up those teeth just right.
This is Library on the Go. We bring stories and adventures to you. I'm Ms. Laura.
And I'm Ms. Barbara.
Of the Cortez Public Library. And Ms. Barbara has a storybook for you today, and then she's going to start in on another chapter book.
Our story today is Raj the Bookstore Tiger by Kathleen Pelly, illustrated by Paige Kaiser, published by Charles Bridge. Raj was a tiger. Not a jungle tiger or an Indian tiger, but a tiger all the same. That's what Felicity Fotheringham had called him the day she brought him home to her attic above the bookstore she owned. "What a tiger!" Felicity had gasped as she held him up to the sun. "Look at that gorgeous golden coat and those beautiful chocolate stripes. Only a real tiger's name is good enough for you. I will call you Raj." Being a bookstore tiger was hard work. Mornings began with a patrol of the storerooms, followed by sunbasking in the front window. And if a passerby rattled the window, Raj never flinched. He just chimed to himself, "I'm a tiger. I'm a tiger. I'm a tiger." Then after a face wash and a snooze, it was time to greet the customers with a leg rub or a hearty meow. But it was the afternoon story time that Raj loved best. After Felicity had gathered the children, she would announce, "Now, let's welcome a special guest, Raj, our very own bookstore tiger." That was Raj's signal to strut forward, eyes flashing and tail swishing as he chanted to himself, "I'm a tiger, I'm a tiger, I'm a tiger." "Look," the children squealed, "it's a little tiger." Then they tickled his chin and scratched his ears and argued over whose lap he would share. Every evening back at the attic, Raj curled up to sleep at the foot of Felicity's bed. And so life for Raj was as charmed as any fairy tale he had ever heard. Until one day the new manager, Christopher Cuthbert, told Felicity that he was having problems with his cat, Snowball. "Ever since we got our Labrador puppy, Snowball has turned mean and cranky," he said. "My poor wife is at her wit's end." "Well, why don't you bring Snowball here during the day?" Felicity suggested. "He might be happier, and I'm sure he won't be a bit of bother to anyone." As it turned out, Snowball was a bother to Raj. "Who are you?" demanded Snowball the moment Christopher plunked him down in the window next to Raj. So startled was Raj that his tail squiggled and his purr vanished. "I'm Raj. Raj the tiger." Snowball sniggered. "Don't be ridiculous. Tigers are wild beasts that live in the jungle and roar like thunder." Raj took a step backwards. But I am a tiger," he spluttered. "Everyone says so. That's why they call me the bookstore tiger." Snowball snorted. "That's just a joke, son. You're not a real tiger. In fact, you're just a plain old marmalade kitty cat with muddy brown spotches that some people might call stripes. Now run along. I need to catch up on my nap, thanks to that yappy new puppy back home." Raj stalked off, head held as high as he could muster. He hid in the storeroom, mulling over Snowball's words. By closing time, Raj was a huddled hump beneath Felicity's chair. And at bedtime, He burrowed beneath a pillow and fell asleep in a dark hole. From then on, Raj was either crouched beneath a chair in the attic or huddled in a hump atop one of the bookstore's shelves. "I'm just a plain old kitty cat," he told himself over and over. He didn't come down for story time, not even when he saw Snowball sprawled in a child's lap with a smirk spread across his face. One night, as Raj hid beneath Felicity's chair, he heard her reading aloud from a book, "Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forests of the night," she said.
Raj, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I accidentally shut off the sound.
Excuse us, but Laura goofed. We'll go back. "Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forest of the night," she said. Raj poked his head out and peered at Felicity. "Yes, Raj," she whispered. "Isn't this a splendid poem by Mr. Blake? I knew you'd like it." Slowly, Raj crawled up into Felicity's lap. He sat there purring loudly all evening as she read the poem to him again and again. In the morning, Raj greeted Felicity with his best tiger roar, followed by a pretend ambush and some dust mote swatting. "Why, Raj, my little tiger," cooled Felicity, "I believe you're back to your old self. Wait till you see what I've got planned for you today." And off they went to open the bookstore. By the time Snowball arrived, Raj was basking in the window. "Move over, Sonny," ordered Snowball. "No room for joke tigers here." But Snowball's jibes had lost their sting. Raj didn't budge, not even when Snowball hissed and scowled. At story time, Raj watched from a high shelf as Snowball sprawled across two children's laps. Felicity clapped her hands and announced, "Today we have a special guest, author Sanjeev Patil. He's going to show us a video about India, where all his stories take place." Raj peered closer now. The lights dimmed. Pictures appeared on the screen, and the sound of rain gushed from the speakers. "This is the jungle during our rainy season, the monsoon," Sanjeev said. "And this is our very own Bengal tiger." A roar ripped through the store. Suddenly, Snowball fluffed up his fur, hissed at the screen, and fled in a streak of white. Raj, too, felt a stab of fear, but then he remembered his poem, and the words made him feel bold and brave and tigerish. Raj sprang to the floor and reared up in front of the screen, eyes flashing and tail lashing. "Why, look," cried Sanjeev, "a little tiger." "Yes," said Felicity, "this is our other special guest, Raj, our bookstore tiger." Raj strutted around the children as they squealed and giggled and pointed. Later, when Sanjeev and the children had left, Snowball sidled up to Raj and whined, "No matter what they say, you're still just..." "Did you know," Raj interrupted him, "that there's a picture of a tiger in that book over there? And it's white, just like you." Snowball sniffed. "A white tiger, you say?" Snowball gazed at the picture for a long time. He blinked, and finally he purred. "Come on," said Raj, nudging Snowball. "Let's make the rounds together." "Okay, tiger," agreed Snowball. So with eyes flashing and tail swishing, off they went, chanting, "I'm a tiger, I'm a tiger, I'm a tiger." The end.
I think that's what my cats say.
I think all cats have a little tiger in them.
They're so tough. Well, you're joining Library on the Go. We're on KSJD 90.5 and 91.5 FM. Song at the start was Cool Cat by Colin Ray, and Raj was really a cool cat. Now, Miss Barbara is going to start on her chapter book for you.
This is The Secrets of Droon, The Golden Wasp by Tony Abbott, illustrated by Tim Jessel, a Little Apple paperback, published by Scholastic, Inc.
Grrr, ruff, 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 eek!
Eric Hinkle and his best friends, Julie and Neil, jumped aside as a small dog raced across Eric's basement floor. Except that it wasn't really a dog. It had four sharp ears, bright blue fur, and a snubby pink nose, and long teeth. It growled and snarled, and it came from another world, a world called Droon. "We've got to catch it, guys," Eric cried. "We have a more serious problem, remember?" "I'm not an it, I'm a moon fox," the creature snapped. Then it bounced to the shelf above the dryer and began to chew it.
"Ruff, ruff."
Julie swatted at it with a broom. "He's eating everything. We need to get him back to Droon." "And get my dad back here," Eric cried. Right, his dad, Mr. Hinkle. He was the more serious problem. Mr. Hinkle was in Droon, the strange, magical, and secret world below Eric's basement. Droon was a world of wonder and adventure. It was a world where an old wizard named Galen and a young princess named Kia battled a terrible sorcerer called Lord Spar. It was a world that only Eric, Julie, and Neil went to, until now. "I'll never go back," the moon fox growled, scratching the window and then nibbling the frame. Eric glanced around in a panic as his mind raced through the last 20 minutes. He and Julie and Neil had just come back up the magical staircase that connected their world, the upper world, to Droon. Then Julie noticed that she had left her charm bracelet behind, and the one she wore was from Droon. That was bad, very bad. Galen had told them never to bring anything back from Droon. If they did, things would start going back and forth between the worlds. And something did go. Eric's father. First he was here, then poof, he wasn't. Unless they brought him back soon, other things might come here. Evil things. Maybe even Lord Spar himself. Meanwhile, the charm on the Droon bracelet had come alive and was wrecking the basement. Crunch! The moon fox bit off a piece of Mr. Hinkle's tool bench, then spit it out. "Oh, man," Eric sighed. "What can we do?" "Food!" yelled Neil suddenly. "Will you forget food?" snapped Julie. "We have to trap this thing." "And food will do it," Neil said, and he dug into the seat of his favorite old armchair. He pulled out a handful of pretzels. "Good thing I'm a messy eater. Hey, moon fox, are you hungry?" The fox screeched to a stop on a ceiling beam. "Am I hungry? Do I look hungry?" Neil grinned. "Pretzels here. Free pretzels." "Yes," cried the fox, and it jumped for the food. In a flash, Eric grabbed a laundry basket and popped it over the fox, and Julie piled some heavy cartons on top. "I'll chew my way out," growled the fox. "Not before we get back," Eric said, heading for the closet under the stairs. "Next stop, Droon. Time to find my father." "And my bracelet," Julie added. "And more food," said Neil, as the three friends tumbled into the closet under the stairs. Before Eric closed the door, he looked out at the basement one last time. His father's tool bench stood peacefully against the far wall. Sunlight fell through the window, flickering through the leaves of two apple trees outside his house. Suddenly, Eric felt not just scared, but sad. His father had taught him to climb those trees. "He was teaching me guitar chords, too," Eric said. "I mean, what if Spar finds him? What if somebody puts a curse on him? What if..." "Come on, Eric," Julie whispered, pulling him into the closet. "We'll find him. We will." Neil closed the door behind them. Julie switched off the light. The little room went dark. Then, whoosh, the floor beneath them vanished, and they were standing at the top of a long rainbow-colored staircase. The steps shimmered in a pale light from below. It was moonlight from the land of Droon. They stepped quickly down the stairs. They never knew where the staircase would take them, only that it would soon fade, and it always reappeared somewhere else in Droon when it was time to leave. "I see a city," said Julie, peering down. The moon had started to turn pale. Morning sun glinted off a giant stone palace. Eric's heart raced when he realized where they were. "It's Jaffa City. Kia will be here. She'll help us for sure. Jaffa was Drune's grand capital city. Princess Kia lived there with her father, King Zello. As they descended, the kids could see the palace courtyard bustling with people. Some were rushing here and there with blazing torches. Others were busily toting chests and bundles. "Something's going on," Neil said as they left the staircase. "The whole city is out today." Groups of six-legged, shaggy beasts called pilkas were stamping their feet near the city gates. The sound of carriages squeaking on the cobblestones mixed with dozens of strange voices. And one voice rang out above the others. "Julie! Eric! Neil!" "Kia," said Julie, scanning the courtyard. "Here I am," the princess called, waving from the crowd. Kia wore a bright blue tunic and leggings. A jeweled crown sparkled on her long golden hair, and she ran to greet the kids. With her was her father, King Zello, a fierce-looking man in a helmet with horns sticking out of it. But he smiled when he saw the kids. "It's a wonderful day," Kia said. "All the kings and queens of Drune are meeting here. We are going to Zorfendorf for a celebration." She stopped. "Eric, what's wrong?" "It's not a wonderful day in my world," Eric said. "Something called a moon fox is loose in my basement. Plus my dad's lost. In Drune." The king's smile faded. "We must tell Galen immediately. His magic tower is nearby." But before they could move, a figure clad all in black jumped from the crowd. It ran so swiftly they couldn't make out who or what it was. "Halt, creature," Zello cried. "Who are you?" But the figure sprang quickly at the king. It showered a sizzling jet of red sparks over him. Then it lurched around and leaped at Kia. "Get away from us," she cried, and she shot a bolt of blue light from her fingertips. The creature dodged it and bounded away across the courtyard, scattering sparks over everyone it passed. "What's he doing?" Neil asked. "Let's find out," said Eric, and together they rushed after the dark shape. It bolted through the crowd toward the city wall. "We trapped him," Eric shouted. The figure ran straight for the wall, then turned around to face them, sort of. "Yikes," Neil blurted out. Eric staggered back as the creature slid into the shadows and vanished in a puff of smoke. Kia and Julie rushed over to the boys. "Who was it?" asked the princess. "I don't know," Neil said, "but he had no face," Eric stammered. "He had no face." 5 minutes later, the kids were climbing to the top room of the wizard's tower. They popped through a small door and into a large room filled with clutter. "Hail, friends from the upper world," Galen boomed happily. But when they told him everything that had happened, he brooded solemnly, stroking his beard. Finally, he spoke. "Eric, your father must be found at once. The balance between our worlds has been upset. Julie's bracelet stayed in Drune, and another went to your world. As long as Mr. Hinkle remains here, someone from Drune can ascend the stairs." Eric shuddered. "Someone? You mean Spar?" The wizard nodded. "Spar has always wanted to spread his evil reign to the upper world. With your father here, he has his chance." Neil gulped. "I think I speak for everyone when I say, yikes!" "Quite," said Galen. "As for this faceless creature, I must look him up," and he pulled a thick book from the shelf. "The kings are nearly ready," chirped a tiny voice. The kids looked up. Max, Galen's spider troll helper, swung through the window on a thread of silk. Max's normally wild orange hair was parted in the middle and combed down flat. His clothes were new and neat. "Master Galen, may our friends come to Zorfendorf Castle, too?" Galen shut his book. "I'm afraid our plans have changed. Children, the faithless creature you saw is called a wraith." "What is a wraith?" asked Julie. Max gasped softly. "A wraith is a victim of the golden wasp, some poor soul stung by Spar's evil insect." The kids stared at one another. On their last adventure, Lord Spar had found an object of great magic called the Golden Wasp. Its sting gave him the power to control people's minds, and now he was using it. For evil, of course. Eric had a sudden, frightening thought. "What about my dad?" he asked. "What if Spar finds him? What if the wasp stings him?" The wizard narrowed his eyes. "Spar has made it more difficult to peer into his dark lands. I suggest we find Portentia. She is a truth-teller, an oracle living in the Farn woods. If anyone knows where your father is, it is she." "Durr!" A loud trumpet fanfare sounded from the courtyard below. "The majesties are leaving," Max chirped. "Oh, the lumpies will eat everything!" Kia rushed to the window. "Father! Father!" she called out, waving her arms. The kids had just spotted their old friends, Khan, the purple pillow-shaped king of the lumpies, and Batamoji, the furry ruler of the mole people, when a second trumpet sounded. The pilkas thundered noisily toward the gate. "Let's hurry and get down there," said Julie. But by the time the children made it to the courtyard, the great royal caravan had gone, and the square stood deserted. "My father was so excited," Kia said. "I didn't even get a chance to say goodbye." Eric sighed. "I know what that feels like." "Come," said Galen. "Our journey lies the other way, far from Zorfendorf Castle." They left the courtyard through a small gate, and beyond the walls lay a broad green meadow, and on its far side a forest of tall trees. Galen and Max led the band across the meadow, and they traveled as quickly as they could. "Eric, I think your father is safe," Kia said as they neared the huge woods. "I just feel it." "I hope so," said Eric. Just yesterday his father helped him with his math homework, and then they played guitar together. Well, his father played, Eric mostly messed up, but it was fun. Now he imagined waking up tomorrow without his dad at home, and tears rushed to his eyes. "Hey, it'll be okay," said Neil, giving him a nudge. "We won't leave Droon without him." Eric rubbed his eyes. "Galen, what exactly happens if the wasp stings you?" The wizard turned to him. "You lose yourself, and your mind belongs to Spar, he said. "And no matter how good you are, you can be made to do bad things. And after a while, you become a wraith." Eric wanted to ask more questions, but Galen walked on in silence. The small troop continued in silence until they reached the foot of the great woods. Everyone stopped. Julie and Neil looked at each other and then at the shadows of the forest. "Well, what's stopping us?" Julie asked. "Fear," said Neil. "Also fear, plus fear." Kia grinned. "So let's be afraid together." The moment they stepped into the woods, the scent of pine was thick around them. Galen and Max strode ahead. Cushions of brown needles rustled softly underfoot as they padded along. Tangled vines hung over the winding path. The kids rushed to keep up. Guys, said Neil, ducking under a low branch, did I ever tell you how much I don't like dark and scary woods? Eric couldn't see Galen, so he hurried his steps. Well, I don't, Neil went on. They remind me of those creepy movies where you're walking along and suddenly... Help! Max yelped. It's Max, and he's in trouble, Julie cried, rushing ahead. Two fierce, red-faced warriors had popped out of nowhere and were trying to pull Max into the bushes. Nins! Kia yelled. Get away, you fiends! Galen boomed, dashing down the path to Max. Six more large Nins jumped from the shadows and grabbed him. Run, Galen told the children. Find Portentia. Her home is deep in the woods. Hurry! In a flash, a dozen more Nins burst noisily from the bushes. Get little ones, they grunted. Let's move it, Eric yelled. The four children raced down the path as fast as their legs could carry them. Vines whipped their faces as they ran deeper into the woods. 10 minutes later, out of breath, the kid stopped. Kia raised her hand and everyone listened. No grunting, no stopping feet, said Neil. Sounds like we lost them. Then suddenly, kablam! The sky exploded and the ground thundered. The children fell to their knees. A sudden shower of hot pebbles rained over them, and then a voice louder than the thunder boom.
Who dares to enter my sacred grove?
And we're going to stop there till next week.
Thank you, Miss Barbara. That is an exciting story. And I think we'll do two more installments after this one.
Yeah, we'll try and finish it in two more. Yeah.
Right. You'll see these themes repeat throughout children's literature. What was the series that you read during the holiday season, Miss Barbara?
Oh, that was the Christmas in Camelot, which was a treehouse book.
Yes, the Magic Treehouse. So you'll see a lot of time travel or traveling to other worlds. These children traveled through a closet in their basement, the C.S. Lewis books. They travel through a wardrobe. You have your good guys and your bad guys, your magicians, your wizards. So it makes for some very exciting literature. Please join us every Sunday, 3:30 in the afternoon for a half-hour show. We're on KSJD, Dryland Community Radio, 90.5 and 91.5 FM. And you can also get to us on the radio on the new KSJD site. And I wish I could give you more instructions about how to listen to us, but I still need to explore that site a little bit more. But you can go and explore it yourself. Also, we have story times every Thursday at 10:30 in the morning at the Cortez Library, and we'd love to have you join us. That usually runs for about an hour and a half. We do have a craft after stories and songs, and we try out new themes all the time, and we will be starting to gear up for our summer reading program for summer 2014, and that is going to involve... Well, actually, the theme is going to be Fizz, Boom, Read, and we will follow the STEM philosophy, and that's science, technology, engineering, and math. So it's going to be an exciting summer. We're getting some really great performers, and the whole staff is gearing up for that. So we're going to go ahead and listen to Cool Cat by Colin Ray, unless Ms. Barbara has something to say.
I just had one brief comment to make. Part of the reason I'm reading these chapter books with the magic in it, one thing we want to try and establish with this program is get you to use your imagination. And that's what these books are good for. They stimulate your imagination.
Yes, because we can travel in our mind. Can we really travel? Well, yeah, if you get on an airplane or if you get in a car, but you can have so many adventures just by traveling in your mind. And is it pretend? Yes, but it's still a lot of fun. And also, like Miss Barbara said, she wants to spur you on to read these books. So please come to the library and check it out. Okay, here's Colin Ray.
The cool cat knows when it's time to relax and get some rest. And that cool cat likes to unwind in his room, 'cause it's the best. And the bestest boys and groovy girls are sure of one thing they have found, that the cool cat knows how to settle down. Whoa, the cool cat likes to run fast and play hard with all his friends.
Thank you for joining us.